today we're going to do Daf Ches and Pesachim. We'll start from the last line on the bottom of Zion and the Beis. The Gemara says like this: Tana Rabbanan, Ein Boitkin, Loi Lo Or Hachama, V'Loi Lo Or Halavona. So when a person does Bedika, the Gemara beforehand just taught us that when you do Bedika, you're supposed to do the Bedika using a candle. So now we learn this, the Rabbanan taught us that you're not supposed to use sunlight, as we'll see in a second when, but, and you're also not supposed to rely on the light of the moon in order to be able to, as enough light to do the Bedika. V'Loi Lo Or Havuka, and you're not even supposed to use a torch, as we'll see why in a minute. El or haner, but rather the thing that you're supposed to use, the lighting that you're supposed to use for purposes of doing the bedikah chametz, is the light from a candle. Mifnei sheor haner, now on the top of the chesed al sheor haner yafal lebedikah, because that's the actual best, that gives the best lighting for purposes of bedikah. V'afal pi shein raya ledavar, even though we don't have a raya that it absolutely must be that way, zecher ledavar, we have an indication in the Torah that that's what the Torah prefers. Shanemar, because the pasuk says, similar to the drasha we learned on Daf Zayin, Shivas Yamis Arla Yamata Bevatechem, you're not supposed to find chametz in your house for 7 days. The Omer, and also the pasuk says, V'yichapis Begod Beheichal, that they started looking again. This is talking about when they were looking for the gviya, the kais, that was stolen from Yosef, and they started looking at Reuven's sack, and then they eventually ended up in Binyamin's sack. The Omer, and it says, and they found it. And then the pasuk says, "I'm going to look with candles. I'm going to look at Yerushalayim for purposes of seeing if there are any problems there." And the pasuk also says, "Ner Hashem nishmas adam," that Hashem is going to use a candle to check the neshama chayfes kol chadrei beten. He's going to check into all the innards, the rooms of the insides of the person to check to make sure that he doesn't have an aveiros. Anyway, so we see that the point is that we see you use a candle, and candles is the best way to do the bedika. Now, so the Gemara, the first thing that the statement was that you're not supposed to use sunlight. Hai or hacham hechidami. Now, what do we mean when we say that you're not supposed to use sunlight? E name of a chotzer, if you're talking about out in the open, out in your courtyard, ha'amar Rava. Rava actually taught us chotzer ain't tzricha bedika. You don't even have to check over there mifnei sha'arvin mitzuyin sham, because there are ravens, there are birds that are there, and any chametz that would be there theoretically would be eaten by the birds. So this doesn't even need to do bedika. You don't have to worry that there's chametz lying around there. Elabach sadr, so rather we're talking about in a hallway that's covered somewhat, so it doesn't get direct sunlight, but the animals aren't there. So hamar Rava, Rava says, sadr lo oyrin nivdekas. So Rava says, even that's enough light that it gets checked. You could rely on the lighting from that comes into the room to do the bedika, so you don't need a candle. So what case are we talking about that the sunlight is no good and you need to use a candle? Leitzricha la'aruba tebecheder. We're talking about where you have a room that has a sunlight, that so the sun does get in, but it's not really as lit up as being outdoors. Now, what are we talking about? Which area of the room is the problem? If we're talking about directly where the sunlight shines in, it's the same thing as in Achsadra, as a gazebo or some sort of porch which is slightly covered where the light comes directly in. So once again, there's not going to be a problem over there. You're going to be able to do the bedika properly. Ella, so what are we talking about? Again, when do we need to use a candle? El Tzadim, we're talking about the sides where the sunlight doesn't get directly there, and it's now just the fact that the room is lit up from the sun, that is not going to be good enough for doing a bedikah relying on that light. You're going to need to use a candle. So the last part of that brisa then says you have to use a candle and not a torch. V'avuka loy, you're going to tell me that you can't use a torch. V'amar Rava, Rava taught us, why does it say in the pasuk v'noiga ka'or tiyeh, that the light is going to be, it's going to be as bright as the sun. Karnayim miyodoi loy, the sham chevyoin uzay, and from there it's going to emanate his strength. So we say, what does that mean? Lamat tzadikim daimin. What do we compare tzadikim that are going to have this special light? Mipnei bifnei shchina. Lamat tzadikim daimin. What does tzadikim compare to? Bifnei shchina. Kener, when tzaddikim are in front of the Shechina, kener b'fnei avuka, it's like a candle in front of a torch. In other words, like obviously a Kodesh Baruch Hu represents the torch, which is giving off a lot of light, and they have a little candle in front of it. It's nothing; it doesn't really give off that much light. So why does the Braisa? So relatively speaking, a candle versus a torch, it doesn't really represent that much light. So why is the halacha specifically you're not supposed to use a torch, and you're only supposed to use a candle? If a candle works, certainly a torch should work. V'amar Rava, Avuka lahavdala mitzvah min hamuvchor. So if you're using a torch, which is what we do. A torch, by definition, is when you have two or more wicks. So you're supposed to use that special light for Havdalah. You're supposed to use a torch. So why can't you use this torch for Bedika? So Rav Nachum bar Yitzchok, ze yachol ha'achnisa b'chayin v'sudokin, v'ze ene yachol ha'achnisa b'chayin v'sudokin. The problem is, when you have a torch, the fire is too big, and you can't get it into the corners. So because it's too big, and you're afraid that you're afraid that it's going to burn things down. So a candle you could take right up to the corner, you could shine it directly where you want it to go, so then it's okay. Whereas in a torch, you're afraid that you're going to light the corner on fire, so you're not going to go in there properly, and it's going to end up being less light because you're going to stay further away from where you're trying to check. That's the first answer. The Rav Zvid said that by a torch it creates a shadow, because you keep it further away, so it creates a shadow and it doesn't give as much light. Whereas the candle, it doesn't distract your eye, so you're able to see where the candle is shining, and therefore, again, the point is that you're able to check the thing that you're looking at better. Rav Papa Omar, Rav Papa is the third teretz habayis, Bahabalai Bayis. One is this one again, like we said before. This you're scared to move into the corner, as opposed to the torch you're scared to take too close to the corner, as opposed to the candle where you're not afraid to bring it in. And the fourth teretz is Ravina Omar Zem Moshech Nehura Vezem Miktav Ektufi. And Ravina's teretz is that by a torch it jumps; it's not a steady light. Whereas a candle, it's just one wick; it just lights straight. So again, your eyes aren't adjusting to the light as much, so therefore you're able to see exactly what the candle is shining on. Whereas when you have a torch, when it goes in and out of light, and it jumps, so it becomes harder for your eyes to focus on the light, and it doesn't pick up the crumbs in the corner as much. So essentially, the Gemara has many terusimas. Obviously, there'll be nafkaminas, but the point is that with a candle, you get the proper light that you're able to see with. Which is why people nowadays use a flashlight if you can, because then you're able to also, it has all the milus that the Gemara discusses over here that a candle has. Okay, the next Gemara says, Kol Mokom Shein Machnisin. So we said in the Mishnah Yisoid that any place where you don't bring chametz, you don't have to check. So Kol Mokom La'asuyei Mai. What example are we using over here that now it says every place? What kind of place would I have thought that I have to check, that now because of this Mishnah I now know I don't have to check? So the Gemara answers, it's going to come to teach us the following case. If you have a wall that has a hole in the wall that's very high or very low, in other words, it's inconvenient in some place that you don't really use, so even though theoretically you could use it, theoretically there could be chametz over here, you don't have to check. Also, the gaga yitzia, or a roof on top of a shed or something, which Rashi explains is very slanted, so things don't stay over there, so it's not typical for you to store things there. So you don't even have to check to see if there's chametz over there. The gaga migdo, also the top of a tower, where meaning more like a storage, a chest, or not a chest, or a book. A storage cabinet. So since you would normally put things in the cabinet, you wouldn't put things on top of the cabinet, so therefore you don't have to check on top. The refes bakar, and this includes also a pen where the animals stay. The lulin is where the chickens stay. Umatven, in a place where you store the tevin. Vayitzrei siayin, in a place where you store the wine. Vayitzrei shemen, and also where you store the oil. All those cases, ain't trich and bedika, you don't have to check in those cases because it's not typical for you to have food over there, and there's no reason to expect it to be chametz, so you don't have to check. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, mita hachalekes b'soich habayis. If you have a bed, they used to set up a bed in the middle of the room so that it kind of would split the room. Imagine if you live in a one-room house. So they put the bed in the middle of the room, and then that makes it, you know, to the left is the bedroom and to the right is the living room. That's what splits it. So umafsekes, and it splits the room. Tzricha bedika, so that has to be checked. So Rashi explains it means it has to check underneath the bed because people store things underneath the bed. So for a minute, I'll ask you a contradiction. Churshe ben odom lechaveiroi. Let's say you have a wall and there's a hole in the wall, and the wall is between two properties. So Zeboy the God welcome Shiodamaga. So how do you check that wall to see if there's chametz inside? One person has to stick his hand as far as he can reach and check his side of the hole. And the person on the other side also has to stick his hand into the hole and check as far as his hand can reach. And that's how they do Badikava. And whatever they can't reach, you just do bittul on. It's not going to believe in your heart, and it's not going to be a problem. You do bittul. You don't have to go crazy and check any further than that. Whatever your hand can reach, that's what you have to check. But the point, back to the point that we said before, mita chalekes b'say chabayis. You have a bed that's in your house that splits the house, or ve'etzim ba'avonim sedurim tachteho, and you have sticks and stones underneath it to kind of to break up the room, umafsekes, and it splits up the room, and it's richa b'diko. So here it says that you don't have to check underneath it. Remember before we said two things. There's two problems over here. Kasha mita amita. First of all, the case of the bed, whether or not you have to check underneath it. According to the Brisa over here, you don't have to check. The Brisa before said you do. And kasha chayin achayin. And before we also said, according the case of the wall, we had a hole in the wall that you don't have to check. And over here it says that you have to stick in your hand as far as it can go and to check. So the Gemara says chayin achayin like kasha. The wall, the hole in the wall is not really such a problem. Haba iloi, haba tatoi. It depends whether you're talking about the holes in the wall that are very high up and inconvenient, or very low down and inconvenient, so people don't use it. That's why you don't have to check. And the second brisa that says you have to check, but Matthew is talking about in the middle where the hole is at a location where it's convenient, so therefore you have to check over there. Now, mita amita like kasha, I can answer also the case of the bed, whether or not you have to check underneath it. It says the medallia mitatoy. It depends on whether the bed has a lot of space in between the floor, the bottom of the bed and the floor, and whether it's a very low bed. If it's a very low bed, so once again, it's not convenient to store things underneath it, so you don't have to check. You don't even have to check. However, if the bed is high up and there's a lot of space and it's a convenient place to store things, so then you have to check because it's very possible that there's food there. The next part of the brisa was v'oitzros yayin ein tzarech b'dika. You're telling me that if you have wine storage houses, you don't have to check. Maybe there's food there. V'hatani, we learned oitzros yayin tzarech b'dika, that if you have wine storages, you do have to check. Oitzros shemen ein tzarech b'dika, but in oil, you don't have to check. And Rashi explains what the difference is. That the difference is by oil, you know how much oil you're going to need for the meal. So there's never a chance. There's not likely a chance that in the middle of a meal you're going to get up with a piece of bread in your hand and go to the storage house with oil in it, because there's no reason to do that. You would know ahead of time how much oil you need. It was kind of there was a set amount of oil that they used per meal. Whereas wine, you never know. In one meal you drink a lot, one meal you don't drink so much. So it's very possible that during the meal you're going to get up and you're going to take some wine. So what's the difference? How come over here you have to check the wine house and before the Brisa said you don't have to check? So the Gemara says, how come I asking to be mistopic? The Gemara was going to say this. How come I asking to be mistopic? Here we're talking about the kind of storage house that you're going to go down to and take food out in the middle of the meal. So yachi shemen nami. So oil also, maybe you're going to take oil in the middle of the meal. So the Gemara says shemen yesh keva la'achilo yain en keva l'shtiya. By oil, there is a set amount. Everybody knows how much oil you're going to need. Whereas by wine, you don't know how much you're going to need. So again, there's a better chance, based on what I just said before, there's a better chance that by wine, you're going to have to go take more wine in the middle of the meal. So therefore, it's possible that you're going to have chametz with you, and so therefore you have to check. Tani Rabbi Chiya. So Rabbi Chiya taught us, Asu Oitzrois Sheikher B'Bavel, they considered the storage houses of beer in Bavel, Ka'oitzrois Yayin Be'Eretz Yisrael. It's similar to the storage houses of wine in Eretz Yisrael, meaning that they are, that's the normal amount that's the place that they take from in the middle of the meal. So, and the Gemara says, b'mistapik, we're talking about where, again, it's the type of cellar, the storage house that people are going to use during the meal, and that's why you have to check over there. Amar Rav Chisda, Bei Dogim, if you have a place where you store fish, Ein Tzarech B'Diko. You don't have to check that because, again, you don't have to worry about people are going to take in the middle of the meal. V'hatanya Tzarech B'Diko, but we have another brisa that says you do have to check. So Gemara answers, Loikasha Ha B'Ravar Vi Ha B'Zutri. It depends on whether you're talking about big fish or little fish. Big fish, everybody gets their portion, and you don't have to worry about taking it in the middle of the meal. Whereas small fish, you don't know how much a person's going to eat. Sometimes they eat a little piece, sometimes they eat more, and then you have to refill. So, again, over there, you're going to have to check. Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Be milchi, if you have a place where you store your salt. Ube kiri, in a place where you store your wax for candles. Tzarech bedika, that you need to check, because again, it's the kind of thing that could run out in the middle of a meal, and you may end up bringing chametz in there. Amar Rav Papa, beit tzivi, a house that you store wood for the fire. Ube tamri, in a house where you keep dates. Tzarech bedika, they have to check, because you're going to need the middle of the meal. Tana, ein mechayvin oisai lahachmes yodoi. Okay, new thing. Ein mechayvin oisai lahachmes yodoi. You don't have to stick your hands into little holes. Livdoik to check, because it's dangerous to stick your hand in. What danger are we talking about? What are we talking about? If you're worried about sticking your hand in because there might be a scorpion in there and it could bite you. So if we're so concerned that there's something hiding inside the hole of the wall, so then why did you use it in the first place? You shouldn't forget about doing the bedika in general. Why would you ever use a hole in the wall? My answer is like tzricha denafel. We're talking about where the wall collapsed, and since it collapsed, so now there are animals hiding in there. You don't have to stick your hand in to check. Enafel lomali bedika. But one second, if we're talking about the case is that the wall completely collapsed, so then you shouldn't have to do a bedika at all. V'hatanan, because we learned in a Mishnah, chometz shenafel lo ma'poilus. If you have chometz underneath something and there was it collapsed, a whole thing fell on top of it. Harehu k'mavur, it's already considered destroyed. If you're not gonna uncover it, you don't have to do the bedika v'dafka to find chometz. So the Gemara answers, hosam she'ena kelav yachol l'chapis acharav, hocha kisha kelav yachol l'chapis acharav. It depends. When we talk about something collapsed and something fell in, and you don't have to check. We're talking about where it's so deep that the chametz is buried underneath there. You're never gonna, even a dog when it's trying to dig for stuff is not gonna uncover it. Whereas if it's just a little thing, you know, two things fell down, so then you have to check. You have to move the stones away, and you have to check underneath it. And that's where we say, over here, you don't have to check if you're afraid that there are scorpions or dangerous things inside the pile that you're sticking your hand in where you can't see, may be dangerous, so you don't have to check. But the Gemara says, "Vamar Rav Elazar, this is a general rule, shluchei mitzvah ein nezakin." Over here, you're doing a mitzvah. So if you're doing a mitzvah, you don't have to check. Excuse me, you don't have to worry that you're going to get hurt. So if you're not going to get hurt, so why can't you do the bedika? Amar Rav Ashi, shema tavavai machat. The problem is over here, you're right. Once you're checking, you may end up also be looking for a needle or something else, but also the unibasra, and you're going to start checking for that. And therefore, it's not a mitzvah. So therefore, even though you're doing the bedika for the sake of checking for the chametz, you're also doing the bedika checking for something else. And therefore, it's not completely for the sake of the mitzvah, so you don't have the protection. So Gemara says, wait a second, but yeah, I got a lot of mitzvah. You're going to tell me that if I'm doing something else also while I'm doing a mitzvah, it's not considered a perfect mitzvah. V'atanya, we learned in a brisa. Ha'imer sel azul tzedakah. The person says, I'm giving this coin to tzedakah b'shvil sheyichye b'ni, so that my son should get better. Oishe eye ben olam habo, or so I should have olam habo. So in other words, I'm doing it for two reasons. I'm doing it l'shma. I'm doing it for the sake of the mitzvah itself, but I also have ulterior motives involved as well. And what does the Brisa say? Hareza tzadik gomer. It's mamish considered a perfect mitzvah. So therefore, what's the problem over here? If I'm doing my bedikas chametz, the fact that I also happen to be doing, looking for my needle or looking for something else, what's the problem? My answer is dilma bosa the bada gosala unibasra. The problem is like this. The bedika takes a couple of minutes. I there's a certain amount I have to check. I checked. And now, once I'm looking already, I'm going to continue to look. Now I have a problem, because now I'm not doing the mitzvah at all. And now I'm only looking, and there I don't have the protection that shluchei mitzvah in a nezakin, so I have to be concerned, and that's why the chacham says don't check. So he says, no, it's a completely different thing. It has nothing to do with checking the scorpions. It's because we're afraid that when you check, the goyim might come after you. Uplimayhu, and it's going according to what Plimoy taught us. The Tanya, we learned in the Brisa, Charsha ben Yehudi la'armoy. It's a completely different thing. It's what the goyim are gonna come after you, because they're gonna think you're crazy. So, because it says Chorsha ben Yehudi la'armoy. Let's say you have a wall between two neighbors. On one side is a yid, on the other side is a goy. So boy de gad makom shiyodem agas. You check until your hand can reach. Vashar mavatla beliba, and whatever you can't reach, you just say, okay, it's bottle. I don't have to worry about it anymore. However, Plimoy Omer, which is the shita that we're quoting over here, Plimoy says kol atzma ena boy de. You don't have to check at all. Mifnei ha-sakana, because it's dangerous. Ma'id sakana, what danger are we talking about? Inei ha-sakana k'shafim. So if we're talking about that it's going to do kishuf, that the guy is going to think that you're going to do kishuf, it's going to hurt you. Hi yishtamish, the same thing. So why are you using it? If you're sticking your hand into the wall, why isn't the guy, you know, in general, when you use the wall, why aren't you afraid the guy is going to start up with you? The Gemara answers, Hasam ki yishtamish yimama. The difference is, when you're using it, it's during the day. You walk, you know, there's a hole in the wall, you're looking at the wall, the guy doesn't think any strange over here. And it's lit up. So he doesn't think about it at all. So he's not going to think anything strange. Hacha lelya, over here it's the middle of the night, the shraga, and you're taking a candle, who? He's going to notice it. So in other words, over here it's for the guy's from the guy's perspective, this is a little bit strange. What are you doing in the middle of the night with a candle? It looks weird. So the guy is going to get all nervous. He's going to think you're doing kishuf, and he's going to come. He's going to make trouble for you. So therefore, we say, you know what? At night, you don't have to do the bedikah at all because you're putting yourself in sakana. So the Gemara says, "Vamar Rav Elazar shluchim mitzvah nezakin." Same thing. Why don't we have a problem? So fine. So the guy will think you're crazy, but you're doing a mitzvah, so you'll be protected. So the Gemara answers, "Heichad the shchir chazekah shiny." The Gemara says, where you put yourself into trouble, where it's normal for there to be damage under the circumstances, but you're asking for trouble. So then, I shouldn't say asking for trouble. The Gemara says where it's normal, shliach, where it happens all the time that you're going to have damage get from what you're doing. So then you don't have the protection anymore, because so therefore over here where you're asking for trouble from the guy. So therefore you don't have the protection. Shanema, where do we see this concept? Even by a mitzvah, if it's normal to be damaged, you have to protect yourself. Shanema v'yomer Shmuel eich eilech. When Shmuel was told that he had to appoint David HaMelech as the king, he said, how can I go? Shaul HaMelech is going to hear about this and he's going to kill me. Now, you have to realize, the case over here was that Hashem told him, go and tell David HaMelech that he's going to be appointed as king. So what kind of response is that? Terah says, under normal circumstances, if Shaul HaMelech, as the king, is going to hear that David HaMelech is being appointed king, that's treason. And he's going to come after me. So therefore, Shmuel had a right to say, how should I go? Vayomer Hashem, and Hashem told him, Eglas Bokar Tikach V'Yotcho, take a calf and pretend you're going to bring a korban. So when anybody asks what you're doing, you say, I'm going to bring a korban, I'm going to make a simcha, so no one's going to ask you any questions. But the point is that Hashem had to give him advice, so in a way that made it look like it wasn't asking for trouble. But if you're asking for trouble, Anachanami, even Shluchei Mitzvah can be in trouble, so you have to, the protection of Shluchei Mitzvah, and in Nezakah is only talking about when you do things in a normal way, you don't have to expect that anything bad is going to happen. Okay, now, boy mi nei Rav. So they ask the following question from Rav. Hanei bei Rav, these students that are learning in yeshiva, the Dari Bebaga, that they live out in the valley, they live in the dark places. So mahu lemesi kadma v'chashucha. Are they allowed to leave their house early in the morning and come home late at night, lebei Rav, so that they can learn Torah? So the problem is they're going to be traveling at night, and we've learned earlier in the Masechta even, that you're not supposed to travel at night. So amar lahu nesi, alai v'al tzavari. He says, they can come to yeshiva, it's not a problem. I'll take responsibility on my neck. It's on me and on my neck. I'll take responsibility for them. They're coming to learn Torah, it's not a problem. Nezel mai, what about going home? Fine, on the way to yeshiva, I understand, because they're going to learn Torah. But on the way home, they're just I'm going home to sleep. So why are they allowed to do that as well? Amar lahu lo yadana, I don't know what the halacha is on the way back. So the Gemara says, Itzmar, we learned, Amar Rav Elazar, shluchei mitzvah einan nezakin, that when somebody's on the way to do a mitzvah, they don't get damaged. Loi v'halichosim, both when they're going, v'loi v'chazirosim, they're not going to be damaged even on their way back. So therefore he's saying, if you're doing a mitzvah, both there and back, you're protected. Come on. Who does this follow? Kihodatana. Like this Tana, the Tanya we learned in the Brisa, Isa ben Yehuda Omer. Since the Torah says, "Lo yachmod ish atzaretzecha," this is talking about when a person has to go up to Yerushalayim for oil regel. So the problem is, everybody's going to go. There's going to be nobody left in town. There's no protection whatsoever. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to give us a haftocha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu assures us that no one's going to be interested in your property. "Lo yachmod ish atzaretzecha." No one's going to be interested. No one's going to desire your land. So you'll be able to go up to Yerushalayim. It's going to be completely protected. No problem. Melamed shetehei parasecha roi be'efer. That your animals are going to graze out in the swamp, in the open, and no animal is going to hurt it. No wild animals are going to hurt it. Your chickens are going to go searching for food in the garbage. Vein chulda mazikasa, and a weasel is not going to hurt it, which is, again, normally, if you let your animals out, and wild animals are going to come get it. And that's what we learn from this pasuk. And we darshan v'haloi dvarim kal v'chomer, so we can make a kal v'chomer to ourselves. Uma eilu shadarkin lozuk. So these things are normally damaged because you're putting them in harm's way and in izok, and still the Torah says they're protected, that Hashem is going to make sure they don't get damaged, and that's talking about an animal. But a person who normally is not damaged, he has mazel and he has malochim to protect him, so ein darkon lozuk, they're not going to get damaged. So certainly when they're doing a mitzvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the assurance that nothing's going to happen to them. Okay, the kamo. Now, what's this talking about? Ubamat, what's this talking about? Ein li yelo b'halicho. This is talking about when they're... Oh, sorry, alachas kama v'kama. Ein li yelo b'halicho. So this is talking about when I'm going to the mitzvah b'chazor minayin. How do we know that when I'm on my way back, I'm also protected? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to protect us. Tamad loymar, upanisa b'boiker, that they'll empty their location out in the morning. V'halachto la'alechon, they're going to go back to their tents. So this is on their way back. V'lamed, shetelech, that they're going to go home, the timsa alech b'shalom, and your house is still going to be in one piece. Okay, so we're protected when we're doing a mitzvah, both on the way there and the way back. So Gemara says, so fine. So now that the Torah teaches us that even on my way home, I'm protected, so what did I need the first pasuk to tell us that on the way there I'm going to be protected? Meaning when I get back, it's all going to be good, so then I don't need a special pasuk to tell us that I can go on the way there, I'm also protected. It's superfluous. The Gemara answers, you're right, Tanachanami, look at the Rav Ami. They're teaching us Rav Ami Talach. Rav Ami taught us, Kol Adam Sheyesh LeKarka, the point of the first pasuk is to teach us that who goes up to Eretz Yisrael, who has a chiyuv to go up by the regal, only those people who own Karka. Kol Adam Sheyesh LeKarka, if you own property, Oyla regal, then you have a chiyuv to go up for Oyla regal for Yerushalayim. Shein LeKarka, but if you don't own property, ain't Oyla regal. Since the pasuk, you don't have a chiyuv to go up for Oyla regal. Since the pasuk makes a contingent protecting your land, so we see that the Torah learns that it's only a din for those people who own land. Amar Rav Abin bar Rav Ada, Amar Rav Yitzchak. So the Torah is in the name of Rav Yitzchak. Ma'ein Peiros Kenisa b'Yerushalayim. How come there aren't these? The Peiros Kenisa are these delicious, very sweet peiros. So how come they don't exist in Yerushalayim? Yerushalayim supposedly should be perfect. It should have all the best things in the world. So we answer, Kedei Shaloye Oyla Regalim Omer, so that people going up for Oyla Regal, to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so people, they shouldn't say, Elmolei Loyalinu Elalecho Peiros Kenisa B'Yerushalayim Dayenu. So they shouldn't end up saying, wow, if not, just going up to Yerushalayim to eat the peiros are good enough. And they miss the whole point, because that's not the point of going up to Yerushalayim. Going up to Yerushalayim is the point to for Ruchnius, to meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, nimtza aliyah shaloi lishmo, because then it would come out that they're not doing it for the right reasons. And according to, based on the Gemara we just said before, if you're doing something for the wrong reasons and the right reasons, you no longer have the protection of shluchei mitzvah. So that's why Yerushalayim doesn't have these extra special things. Similarly, we say Amar Abdestoy Bar Yanai. Abdestoy also said that they ma'ein chametz veri b'Yerushalayim. Why don't the hot springs, which are very healthy and good, why aren't those up in Yerushalayim? HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have put those in Yerushalayim to make Yerushalayim a nice place. Again, Kedei Shelo Yehei Oyla Regalim Oyma, so that the people going up to Oyla Regal, to Yerushalayim, shouldn't say, Amolo Lo Yalino El Lirchez B'chametz Veria Dayenu. So they shouldn't say, wow, it's just going up to Yerushalayim for the purpose of going in these hot springs was good enough. We don't want them to say that, because the name says, Aliyah Shelo Lishma, because then it would come out that they're going up to Yerushalayim for the wrong reason. They're not going up to Yerushalayim for the sake of Oyla Regal, they're going now for the fun stuff. So Mimela, that's why these things are not in Yerushalayim. But this is, again, ties in, the Marshal explains, this ties into the Gemara before, to explain that this is so that when they go up to Yerushalayim, they have the protection of Oyla Regal completely l'shem Shemayim and not something else. Now, the Gemara goes back to what the Mishnah taught us. The Mishnah taught us that you have to check only where you would normally bring chametz. If you don't bring chametz there, you don't have to check. So the Mishnah says, if you're in a storage house, the storage house, you have to check two rows. And that was the example that the Mishnah gave. However, the Gemara says, Martiv Mazikar Shemei, who's talking about a storage house over here? We're talking about, in general, that you have to check where you bring chametz. So the Gemara answers, Hachi Kama, this is what the Mishnah means to say. Kom Mokom She'im Achnisim by chametz, if it's a normal place that you don't typically bring chametz, Ein Tzarech Bedika, you don't have to check at all. However, V'Oitzeris Yayin, V'Oitzeris Shemen, and wine,
storage houses and oil storage houses. Nami ain't tzarich b'dika. You don't have to check them because you don't typically go there with chametz in your hand. Ubame amru. But what are we talking about when you do have to check? Shtei shurois b'martes. When do we have to check? You have to check the first two rows of the storage house, because mokum shemachnisan by chametz, because that is the place that you would normally bring chametz. Ubemestapek. But we're only talking about the type of storage house that you would normally go to take food out of the storage house, the cellar, in the middle of the meal. But anachanami. So the Mishnah's decide was, if I don't normally bring chametz there, I don't have to go. That's talking about where I don't go there during the meal. So I never there's no reason to think or suspect that there's chametz there. However, if I am going there during the meal, like for example the cellar, so since I go there during the meal, now even though it's a storage house, since it's possible the chametz is there, I do have to check. Still there? Okay, Vayter in the Gemara. Veshamay Yom Shteshur. So now we get into an interesting machlekes in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, okay, now that you're checking, because there's a possibility that there's chametz over here, you have to check two rows. So Veshamay says Shteshur, you have to check two rows. But the Gemara wants to know, what two rows are we talking about? Amar Rav Yehuda Shteshur Sha'amru, the two rows that we're talking, discussing over here, Min Ha'aretz V'ad Shmei Kaira, it's talking about from the ground up. In other words, imagine walking into a cellar, not the way you would, not that, so to speak, it's lined from on along the walls on the side, but rather imagine the cellar is barrels of wine, completely the entire area. Think about a long, narrow room, that the entire room is filled with barrels stocked one on top of the other, okay, in an orderly fashion. But the point is, there are different ways to look at, to view those rows, right, in three-dimensional. There are rows that go straight up back, there are rows that go straight up, there are rows that go straight across the top, and so on and so forth. So Rabbi Yehuda's shita is that when we check two rows, what we mean is when you walk into the room, there's a wall of barrels right in front of you. That's the first row. And what's behind that is the second row. Okay, so two levels, so to speak, in. The first row directly in front of you, the wall of barrels in front of you, and then the wall of barrels directly in front of behind that. And the way he says that is min ha'aretz v'ad shmei kaira, from the ground, the barrel sitting on the ground all the way up to the roof, that's considered one row up. For Rabbi Yochanan, that's Rabbi Yehuda's pshat in Beis Shammai. For Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan says no, shura achas k'min gam. He says it's one row each, like a C, meaning, or an L, that would be the better way to put it. Meaning you have one row of directly in front of you, the wall directly in front of you, and then the top row along the ceiling also is the row that we're talking about. So that's two rows, one row in front of you and one row across the top. Okay, that's how he gets two rows. Gam is like a gimel, so it's like bent in the middle, and that's how he describes the two rows. The Gemara says Tanik Avasa to Rabbi Yehuda, Tanik Avasa to Rabbi Yochanan. There's a brisa exactly like the way Rabbi Yehuda explains, and there's also a brisa exactly the way Rabbi Yochanan explains. So the Gemara brings them Tanik Avasa to Rabbi Yehuda. I'll bring you a brisa like Rabbi Yehuda's shita that was the first two rows in front of you, because it says in the brisa the following: Beishamay Oimrim, Beishamay says Shtei Shurish Al Pnei Kol Amartev. It's two rows across the whole cellar. Now the Shtei Shurish Amru, those two rows that we're discussing are Min Haaretz Vat Shmei Kler. It's from the ground to the ceiling. So that's one row, one whole row in front of you, one whole wall in front of you, and the row behind it. That's the way Rabbi Yehuda explained. Tanya comes to the Rabbi Yochanan, and we have a brisa that says exactly the way Rabbi Yochanan explains. Shtei shuris afnei kol amartes. The two rows that we say on the cellar, what is that talking about? Chitzoina royes ha-pesach. It's the wall in front of you, the one that sees the opening, meaning not just literally in front of the doorpost, but that whole wall. The alyoina and the top row, royes ha-kayr, the one that sees the beams, meaning the one that sees the ceiling. The row that's further in from the wall and below the ceiling, that you don't have to check any further. You just have to check one row in the front and one row on the top. And that's according to Beis Shammai, that says you have to do a bedika of two rows. The Mishnah then argued, and Beis Hillel argued in the Mishnah and said, the two rows that we're talking about means the top row. Now what does that mean? So what's Beis Hillel's argument? So the Gemara explains, Amar Rav. So Rav says, Al Yoina the Shalamata Emeno. So Rav says the following. If you can picture, again, picture the rows, the stacks of barrels in front of you, creating a wall, and then it continues all the way back into the ceiling. So the just give me 1 second. Okay, so he says now, so if you're looking at the storage house, so imagine there's a wall of barrels in front of you, and that and then on top it continues all the way back. So the top level of barrels on that front wall is what we're talking about. According to Beis Hillel, you don't have to check the whole wall. You just have to check the top row of barrels, the corner, I call them, all right, and the one row below it. So on the wall that's facing you, you have to check just the top barrels, because think about it. Those are the barrels that you're going to take. If you had to take something, you're not going to pull something out from underneath. You're going to go to the top, and you're going to take something from the top. And it's possible also you'll go one level down. So that's, but just not for, so it's in other words, just that front row and one row behind it, one row below it, but nothing deeper than that. That's Rab's pshat. Shmuel Amar El Yoino V'Shalifnim Heimenu. He says also the top corner row, but instead of the next level that you're, the most likely place that you're going to take your barrels from, are not the one row below it, but rather you're going to work your way back, further back into the cellar. So it's one row of barrels behind on the along the ceiling, but one row of barrels further back in, and that's as far as you have to check. Also, the Gemara says, "My time of the Rav." Where did Rav get the shita that he held that Beis Hillel held that it was the top row and the row below it? He's saying this because he's saying the Beis Hillel's shita is the two outside rows. So the outside rows means the rows facing the wall in front of you. But it also says in the Mishnah Beis Hillel says the top ones. He says lemuute tatoi to tatoi. What he means is the top ones. I don't have to work the whole row in front of me. I just have to do the one directly, the top row, and the one directly below it, and not any further down. Shmuel Omar, and Shmuel explained el yoina shalifnim emenu. So we explained also that it means the top row and one row back behind it, but again just along the ceiling, not any further down. My time of where does he get that reasoning from that we're talking about across the ceiling? So he says because Dayak El Yonis, because the Mishnah says Beis Hillel's words were Shehen El Yonis, which are the top ones. So he's only talking about the top rows. So he only has to check the two front rows on the top level. But the Brisa, the Mishnah also said Beis Hillel's shita was that you have to check the outside ones. He says he means the ones that are inside, further in, that you can't see. So you only have to check the outside row and one behind it. That's the outside of you're going to get, but you don't have to check any further in than that. Fine. Rav Chiya Tanik Havasi de Rav. Rav Chiya learns like Rav Shita that you check the top row and one row below it. The Kula Tanoi Tanoi Havasi de Shmuel, and all the other Tanoim learn like Shmuel Shita that it's the top row and the one row and one level or one row of barrels right behind it. The Hilchos on Havasi de Shmuel and the Gemara Paskin like we paskin like Shmuel that you're going to that you only have to check the top row and one row behind it. So it's a machlekes a poskim over here why that is, because typically you have a machlekes Rav and Shmuel, we paskin like Rav the Isser. Over here we paskin like Shmuel. That's a chiddush over here. Okay, so that's so the question is why, and the answer is possibly is because the Rosh explains, because even though Reb Chiya, who learned all the brisos, held that we paskin like Rav, but everybody else, all the other time, even though, again, typically a machlekes Rav and Shmuel, in this kind of case, we paskin like Rav, but since all the other Tanoim paskin like Shmuel in this case, we're going to break that rule because of all the other Tanoim, and we're going to paskin like Shmuel.